The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Are God's purposes for his daughters indestructible?
Coming up, author Carolyn Custis James unpacks God's vision for women in today's rapidly changing world.
Is God's purpose for me as a woman something I can miss or lose or have spoiled or have someone cheat me from it?
Recapturing God's global vision for women, next.
So much for joining us on Life Today. I hope you're especially blessed with our as you listen to our guest speak. I'm Betty Robinson and Missy Jane.
That's complicated, isn't it?
It is. That's the hardest part of the show.
I get it so tickled because I listen to you. I think, well, is she going to go ahead and do it? Never know. And today we've got a guest on that's going to talk about half the church and about God's global vision for women. And I feel like she's surely going to talk about God's global vision for you right here as co-host of Life Today. I love to watch her smile. We've got a trainer coming back to the house. You know, I'm still building back my strength after having that serious staph infection a year ago. And I'm doing these deep knee bends, looking at Betty, that big smile. We're doing them together. I'm looking at you, and your smile, you're killing me with this smile. It's so beautiful. I just love it.
I'm trying to help you enjoy it.
I moan and groan, and she just,
I said, come on,
she just
toughs
it out, and it's just awesome. Well, Carolyn Custis James is with us. She's quite a speaker. She travels all over the place talking, not only writing and sharing what she writes, but speaking, and I think primarily really focusing on women's and women's issues, which I might say, well, you reckon that's a lot of issues? I guess I better ask her. Would you welcome Carolyn Custis James to Life Today? We're so glad to see you. And you titled your book, Half the Church. And and you're talking about God's global vision for women. And, you know, Betty never dreamed God would have a vision for her to be on the mission field or sitting up here as co-host, but he kind of stretched her. Is that part of the process, God's global vision for women, or is that just her husband dragging her up here to the studio?
I don't want to get into that. I think that's a little dangerous for
me.
Well,
we really need counseling. We're not going to need a trainer. We need counseling.
Okay, well, the cameras have to go off for the counseling. it started out for me asking questions for myself. When I hit a stretch of singleness after college that I didn't see coming. And that took me into a time where I wondered if I was going to miss my calling as a woman, because, you know, a lot of women, you know, expect that they're going to marry and have a family and that's going to be where they find their greatest fulfillment. And I'm looking at my life and thinking, is that going to happen to me? And it just opened the way for me to start asking bigger and bigger questions. These are not questions that I'm the only one asking. They're questions really that confront every woman. Even a woman who has a picture-perfect life where it's just worked the way she always thought it would is a phone call or a diagnosis away from the whole thing collapsing. And so what I wanted to know was, is God's purpose for me as a woman something I can miss or lose or have spoiled or spoil it myself or have someone cheat me from it? Are God's purposes for his daughters indestructible? Do they cover our lives from day one to the very end of our lives? And the questions just got bigger and bigger the more I studied.
What led you to ask those questions? Were you talked about some people think about marriage or something. Were you not seeing that unfolding in front of you? And it caused you to wonder.
Right. You know, every time my own life went a different direction from what the picture was in my head, those questions came up. You know, after the singleness, when I married, by the time I got married, I was having physical problems where infertility was the next battle. And those questions are at the heart of who we are as women. And, you know, there are many women who are confronted with this. And you know, the more I asked questions, the more I thought, you know, the Bible is a global message. It's for all of us. And not just women in the prosperous West, women in poverty, women in, you know, in other parts of the world.
Like the people who were drilling water wells.
Absolutely.
Right now. For people who are desperate and who just, they're just trying to live one life at a time.
That's right.
And these women are looking for
right.
purpose and meaning.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we want our lives to count. What happened as I studied this more and more, I went back to the Genesis narrative because that's where God's vision casting for the world. And that's where he is laying out his plan for humanity, and he's defining who we are. And I went there asking the question, is this speaking to all of us? Are we all in his story? Or just some of us, or just for a season? You know, how does the Bible speak into the lives of women? You know, it's an exciting thing to go back to Scripture and ask new questions. And the 21st century landscape for women is a world of extremes, because you have women who are in positions of world leadership. You know, women who are ambassadors of their country. In our country, we've had women who are within a heartbeat or two of the White House. And then you have women who are utterly powerless, who are being trafficked. And this is a time for the church to speak into that landscape with purpose for women, for all women. And I think we can do that. I mean, I think I've uncovered things in Scripture that not only put purpose and meaning into the whole life of every woman, but they call us to action, to be kingdom builders and agents of change in the world. So it's
when you look at all of the things, you just mentioned a number of very troublesome areas. We could talk about the Muslim women who are covered and who are really perhaps as downtrodden, seemingly in some ways. How do they find purpose and hope, you know, and is it... do we take the Garden of Eden and say the woman is just made to be help meet my needs? Is that Betty just help meet my needs? Or is it beyond that? In other words, when you are trying to address these issues, what do you say? I mean, I know you've written the whole book about it, and we try to cover it, but how do you speak into their life, wherever they are in whatever time? You refer to seasons in women's lives.
Yes.
When they are kind of expecting or looking toward certain things, or they've been programmed a certain way by the environment or the influences around them. What do you speak to them that will open their eyes to consider what it is you seem to think is so important for them?
Well, I do think that the way we've looked at the Genesis narrative, it has focused on the creation of marriage. But really what you have in the Genesis 1 and 2, which is before the fall, is the creation of male and female. And at the end of all of that, the writer explains how this applies to marriage. But when God is creating male and female, it's not about marriage. It's about humanity. It's about the human race. So the first thing...
It's really about stewardship and oversight responsibility.
Absolutely.
To some degree, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you know, are you saying, I think I hear you saying it's kind of a twofold commission and mission. It was given to both of them, this
yes.
oversight, this
yes.
responsibility.
Yes.
To care for what was entrusted
it's,
to their
work. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, when God... The first thing that God says about human beings, he says about male and female, is that we're his image bearers. And we usually talk about that in a
That's
very...
It's both of them, too. It's not
yes.
either or. It's
yes. Yes.
Both.
Both of them. And we talk about it normally in Christian circles in a very limited way, you know, sort of that you're not a plant or an animal, that human beings are a higher life form, and that we are, we have certain qualities that we inherit from God that distinguish us from the rest of creation. But when God makes us his image bearers, what he's doing is saying, these will be like us. The Godhead says this. Let's make these to be like us. We are created to be God's representatives in the world. We are created to speak and act for him, to be his eyes and his ears, and to, you know, hear the cries of the poor and the helpless, and to respond to those needs. Knowing that means that you can't live an insignificant life. That wherever you are, you represent God, and that people are supposed to get a sense of what he's like by how we treat them. You know, to get a sense of his heart for the world and his compassion and his grace and all of these things that are to come from us.
And this gives you fulfillment, right?
No matter where I am, no matter what season I'm in, if I'm a little girl or if I'm an elderly woman or if I'm married or if I'm single, that I'm on the front lines.
And you're a representative of God.
Yes.
Something you said earlier about you mentioned the word count, and I think that is what jumps out at me is, man or woman, do we count? Where is our place that God has for us? Women do go through, we talked earlier, women do go through a lot of seasons in life. And I look back on the different seasons I've been through and how God has allowed me to know, and that's, whether you're a woman or a man, it has to start with that personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And allow God to show you that you are so significant to him and to his creation, that no matter what he has us doing, what season we're in, it counts.
And I think that, you know, the things that I'm talking about in my book free us to embrace the life that God is giving us. I mean, for me as a single, when I was single, one of my deepest regrets is that it felt like a holding pattern. And that was what I was being told, you know, that you just need to wait. I need to be living for God in every moment of my life. And what we're seeing, you know, the book itself, you know, is titled Half the Church, and it is also in part a response to another book called Half the Sky. And that's a book that's about the plight of women in the world. It's written by Nicholas Kristof and Cheryl Wudunn. And they challenge the church in that book because they're researching all over the world what's happening to women and girls and the atrocities that are taking place, where there's female abortions that are just rampant in the world because families in different cultures that are more patriarchal want sons and not daughters.
The trafficking
of girls and it's in every city, and the honor killings and the child marriages and the female circumcision, and it just goes on and on and on. It's a bigger crisis than all of the tsunamis and earthquakes that we're seeing that are so horrific.
And when I hear you saying all of this, Carolyn, what I hear you saying, and this is what I hear in my spirit, God's the answer to all this. It's the kingdom presence of God in that person's life, recognizing that God is big in them wherever they are, to express himself first to them and then begin to express himself through them. I sense that's what you're saying.
Yes.
Because that's what I feel inside of me, like that springs up like a river. I want everyone to walk in that liberty, man or woman.
My book is saying, you know, here's who we are in God, and here's what our mission is in the world, and this is a crisis that we need to engage. And the exciting thing that I'm seeing is that women are hearing this message, and they are saying, I am going to do something about this. And it's extraordinary the kinds of things that they're doing. But what I hear from them is that they say, no one is calling us out to do this. You know, the church isn't saying, you know, let's go out and do something about this crisis and to empower women to be part of the solution. It's sort of the message that women get in the church turns us inward to ourselves, as opposed to saying, you know, what an untapped resource do we have in half the church?
Well, that would not be the message anybody gets watching us. The message they get watching us is the importance and value of women. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of our work would be effective without the sensitivity and compassion and participation of women. The encouragement, we bring on this program, for instance, continually women who are so, that's why Beth Moore is on every Wednesday. Wednesday's with Beth, she's a great teacher. We bring in women who are, I believe, among the greatest equippers and inspirational sources. So I feel like we are walking in harmony with what you're sensing in your spirit as you prayed on your journey, that we are actually encouraging that. We're fanning that fire and longing for it. And I, so I bear witness with your concern with what you're trying to get the whole church to understand the importance of. In other words, I think Betty and I are 100% in sync, not only with your concern, but with the reality that women need to recognize their value and importance and God in their life as a little girl all the way up to the late years of their life, which, you know, Betty and I are in right now, and we certainly feel fulfilled. Well, I mean, later years, we're past the prime center cut.
You are going to need that counseling.
But anyway,
I can recommend someone.
We're absolutely full of the life of God at whatever season we're in. And that's what God wants for women. It's not just exclusive. You appreciate Carolyn sharing with us what God's showing her about half the church. The book is in the bookstore. You have a website. People want to know where you're going to speak.
Yes, my website is whitbyforum.com.
That's interesting. Yeah, and so there it is on the screen. You can see it. You know, what we're doing, that you touched on so many things, even in our conversation here, and that we're addressing, whether it's women that are trapped in sex trafficking. You know, we not only want to get them out, we want to let them know they have great value, regardless of where they're trapped. Even if they were participating out of their own will in some act of sexual impropriety, prostitution, we want to know, hey, there's a new future in life and hope for you. No one needs to be put down. And one of the things we're doing that our viewers enjoy as much as anything, and that is drilling water wells for people who have absolutely no access to anything but disease-ridden, contaminated water. Right now, we're targeting over 400 areas in 15 nations. But the only way we can fulfill our desire is for you to enable us to help the missionaries and the services and the groups that we have either hired or we have bought the rigs and put them in place, which you paid for over the years. We drill the well, and it takes $4,800. You do it if you can drill a well. But maybe you could say, well, I can't do that, but I can give $2,400 and pray somebody matches and steps up beside me, or $1,200 and pray three others do. Please do that if you can. I'm asking you to. Just take your bank card, go to the phone, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to Life, call us and tell us you're mailing it, or go online, lifetoday.org, and just say, here, I want to make my gift today. But keep this in mind. This is so important. The majority of the support comes from people who say, you know what, I can't do that, but I can help. As an example, $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. You'll be contributing toward the well. $144 gift, 30 people water the rest of their life. Could you help 10? Could you help 30? Whatever you can do. Would you just dial that number? Please don't turn away. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for making the call.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. The suffering can end because clean water changes everything in life. With your support, we will drill 415 new water wells in remote villages in 15 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will reach 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. In appreciation for your gift to help drill these new wells, be sure to request the Kingdom Life Journal. This beautiful leather-bound prayer devotional includes both Psalms and Proverbs, as well as a place to write your own reflections as God speaks to you through His Word. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request the journal as well as our beautiful commemorative bronze sculpture, Heart of the Father. please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I thank you so much for making that very special gift. I want to mention again, Half the Church. The book is in the bookstores. Carolyn Custis James has written a book talking about the incredible value, God's will in women right now. Not something to be overlooked or misunderstood, misrepresented. I know it'll bless you. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Carolyn. Carolyn, God bless you. Everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. Thank you so much for watching. Encourage your friends to watch and check out jamesrobertson.net. If you like what I'm sharing and my commentaries, follow them. Share them with someone. Encourage them to do the same.
Still ahead, we first saw her singing on American Idol. Now she's impacting the world with her powerful music and work at Women of Faith conferences. Mandisa sings, He is with you.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Evans. I've got an encouraging word for you today, and this is about marriage, but it's really about all relationships. And it's about the importance of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Genesis 2, verse 7, it says that God created Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Literally, what God breathed into Adam was His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. We were designed to operate with the Spirit of God inside of us. In Genesis 2:17, God warned Adam and said, Adam, in the day that you eat of that fruit of that tree that I told you not to eat of, you'll die. And he did. When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Spirit of God departed from them and they spiritually died. They didn't physically die, but they spiritually died. And did you know by Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that the earth had become corrupt and immoral and violent? In other words, when the Spirit of God was in people, we were prepared to love each other the way that God designed. When the Spirit of God departed from us, we become wicked and violent. And really, you see that in the world today. Well, what's the answer? Galatians 5 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Did you know that without the Spirit of God, we really can't love? I mean, we can have this humanistic type of a love, but it's very shallow. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It really can't be counted on, and it certainly can't meet our deepest needs. It's not durable. It's not lasting. It's not kind. It's not gentle. But the love of God, when God tells us to love each other, we really can't do that without the Holy Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience. Now listen, this is the person you want to be married to. This is literally the personality of God. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are all relational qualities, and they literally are the personality of God, the anointing of God on our personality to make us into the person that we're supposed to be and to prepare us to relate to others properly. Listen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of those things aren't natural to us. They are endowments from the Holy Spirit, and they're free gifts, and that's the good news about it. Literally, our emotions are like an engine that are designed to run on the oil of the Holy Spirit, and oil is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Without the Holy Spirit, our engine, just like a car engine, it overheats and damages itself, and it damages other people. You can't run your car without oil in it. You can't run your life without the Holy Spirit in it. Because without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we overheat, and we damage ourselves, and we damage other people. I've got good news for you. The Holy Spirit is a free gift from God. You don't have to do anything to deserve Him. Just like Jesus, He's a free gift. And every day, literally, when I wake up every day and I pray, I say, Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Prepare me to love my wife, to love my children, to deal with difficult people, to go through difficult circumstances. I'm amazed at what I can do when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm disappointed in what I do without the Holy Spirit. Don't try to make life work without the Holy Spirit. He's your friend. He's there with you. He's the secret for successful relationships.
There's a time to live and a time to die. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time for war and a time for peace. There's a hand to hold in the worst of these, in the worst of these. He is with you when your faith is dead and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, your husband doesn't kiss you anymore. He is with you when your baby's gone and your house is still and your heart's a stone. Crying, God, what'd you do that? There's a time for yes and a time for no. There's a time to be angry and a time to let it go. There's a time to run and a time to face it. There's love to see you through all. When there's too much space and you feel alone and you're worried if you got it right or wrong. And he is with you when you've given up on ever finding your true love, someone who feels like home. He's with you.
Listen, in order to go anywhere, we got to leave someplace. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Tomorrow, Beth Moore reveals the God of all comforts. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.